Monster Man, episode 335, Gaiurian and the Hive Brood.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the Monsters chapter of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. Before we get started on today's monsters, though, it's time to thank some new patrons. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they've pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. Those who pledged at the $1 level will get additional bonus content that I try to release every month. At the $2 level, they'll get access to Patron Deities, my other podcast in which I talk about the Deities and Demigods book and how to use religion and mythology in your fantasy role-playing games. We've got our new episode coming out this week about the Epic of Gilgamesh. And at the $5 level, they'll have the opportunity to choose a topic for a special episode of Monster Man. So thank you very much, Yepa Mulek, Jake Bickford, and David Hager. It means a lot to me that you're enjoying the show enough that you've chosen to support it. Okay, let's start by talking about the Gaiurian. The Gaiurian is, you know, we haven't seen very many of these in this book, and actually we don't see very many of these in general, but the Gaiurian is a comedy monster. They are bird people, but they can't fly. They just like flapping and squawking and collecting shiny objects, and they're all very kind of cowardly and easy to frighten. They're very nervous, and if they do get frightened, they can sometimes let out a big sneeze, which actually they sneeze hard enough to do some damage and knock you over. The Gaiurians come from a solo adventure, CM5, The Snow Pearls. For every 10 regular Gaiurians, there's going to be a cock robin, and every flock of Gaiurians is going to be led by a rooster. So they're chicken people, and so they're cowardly, because chicken and cowardly, I don't know. Did chickens sneeze? I genuinely have no idea. I don't know anything about chickens, other than that my dog thinks they're her friends and she wants to play with them and the chickens don't reciprocate. So the Gaiurians raise a lot of questions. My first question is, why on earth are buck-naked chicken people AC3? They are surprisingly resilient for, like, a bird. I understand that, you know, you have to ultimately not completely separate AC from the sort of fictive concept of how much armor the target is wearing, because we've all already agreed that, like, nimble creatures that are hard to hit can have good AC, so I guess the theory is that they're running around in a panic and therefore they're hard to hit. Is that the idea? I'm not sure. You know, and that we want creatures that have good AC to present a challenge to player characters that have good to hit, even if it doesn't necessarily always make 100% in-world sense, but there have to be limits. Secondly, why are the Gaiurians not in the humanoid section where they so clearly belong? They are an intelligent species of animal people, which is basically all that's in the humanoid section. It's nothing but intelligent species of animal people from heck to breakfast. So why are the Gaiurians not in there? I mean, I don't know. Arguably, the Gaiurians belong in the humanoid section more than some of the monsters that are actually in the humanoid section. And finally, why sneezing? I don't get it. Now, next up, we have the Hive Brood. The Hive Brood are a complete monster ecosystem. And they're essentially types of insect monsters, and they have a complex life cycle where the queen gives birth to little broodlings who then attach themselves to victims and kind of fuse with them, either turning them into regular hive brood or hive leaders or hive minds. And the hive minds, if they eat someone, they can absorb their powers and then distribute their powers to the other members of the hive brood. And they have that kind of, like, horror of collectivism thing where individual hive brood will sacrifice themselves for the good of the hive. So, for example, if a hive brood casts a spell, it takes damage. You know, they're not really built to do it, but if they eat a wizard, they can learn to cast spells, but it hurts them. But they'll do it anyway because, as far as they're concerned, the benefit to the hive outweighs the cost to the individual. Now, obviously, these guys sound a little bit like gene stealers from Warhammer 40,000, but of course, Warhammer 40,000 is not going to be out until next year, 1987, and both gene stealers and the hive brood sound a bit like the xenomorphs from Aliens, but I think the hive brood are actually a bit closer to the brood from the X-Men. Specifically, I mean, it's been a long time since I've read the Brood Saga, but I want to say that the brood did a thing where Wolverine kind of was turned into a sort of brood-like creature. I actually, like, he got infected, but his healing factor kept him partly Wolverine, but like it was a really long time ago. I mean, I haven't read that story in probably 20 years, so I'm probably misremembering it. I did listen to the section about it on Jane Miles Explained the X-Men, but that was years ago too, so who knows. So the hive brood are incredibly detailed. This is probably the longest monster section that we've had so far. Now, technically, it really describes five different monsters, so that makes sense, but it's very focused on like their life cycle. And they don't come from a D&D scenario, or they don't come from a D&D scenario published by TSR. This is very interesting. As far as I know, the hive brood are the only monster that we've seen so far that originated in a third-party product. Now, to understand the reason for this, you have to look at a particular period in British gaming history. 4 years, as you will remember, the main outlet for Dungeons & Dragons material in the United Kingdom had been White Dwarf. In fact, Games Workshop got their start in the world of role-playing and, like, hobby adventure games, as opposed to more traditional board games, which is what they did originally, when they got the license to import Dungeons & Dragons into the UK, and indeed they created a UK edition of D&D. But eventually, presumably because D&D was successful enough in Britain that TSR thought it was merited, TSR set up their own UK branch and, you know, kind of took over producing stuff there. And that TSR UK, which was right here in Cambridge, they were responsible for TSR's competitor to White Dwarf, which is the magazine Imagine. But changes back in the head office and business concerns and other matters, I don't know, ultimately led to the cancellation of Imagine and a kind of significant stepping down of TSR UK's output. And indeed, Creature Catalog is, I think, one of the later things that TSR UK ever puts out. This is a TSR UK book. So with Imagine gone, some of these designers now wanted another outlet for their work, and thus were created Game Master Publications. Game Master Publications was a sort of, it was a module and a magazine, so it was, you got a magazine, and that had kind of like one big module in it, and then a lot of other little features. And one of the other little features in one issue of Game Master Publications was this mini scenario by Fiona Lloyd about the Hive Brood. There's no such person as Fiona Lloyd. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of people out there called Fiona Lloyd, but this Fiona Lloyd was a pen name for Mike Brunton, one of the TSR UK designers who would later go on to work for Games Workshop and did a lot of work on things like Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. And I think he did Realms of Chaos for Warhammer Fantasy Battle / Warhammer 40,000. I'm not sure about that one, but I think that's right. Anyway, he passed away in 2019. So I presume that what happened is that Game Master Publications, you know, this wasn't a TSR product, so when Mike Brunton created the Hive Brood for it, he retained the rights to them, and so he just recycled them into Creature Catalog, because Creature Catalog, of course, is a TSR UK product. And if we look at the monsters created by a section, who should we see but Mike Brunton. So this is a monster with quite a complex history. I think they're, you know, clearly inspired by the Brood from X-Men, which would have just been a couple of years before this book came out, that the Brood Saga was in X-Men. And of course, X-Men in the 80s was the American comic book that even people who didn't read American comic books were reading. So it wouldn't surprise me to find that Mike Brunton was a big X-Men fan. I want to stress that that's not a criticism. Copying something from your, you know, favorite media and putting it in your game is an absolutely respected tradition in the world of role-playing game design. And indeed, I spent a long time doing a sort of like outwardly faux gothic, but actually sci-fi bug monster dungeon scenario in my old third edition game, only to discover that I had essentially created gene stealers from Warhammer 40,000 and could have just, you know, ripped them off instead of getting there by myself and, you know, that turning out to have been what I'd done. And I think by this point, they're different enough that it's not a complete ripoff, but I think that's also quite clearly the inspiration. Anyway, I thought that they were really interesting, and I thought that the history of their publication made them more interesting still. Our next episode is going to be a special episode, where we're going to actually remain in Britain and look at one of the most iconic British games of the 80s, and then after that, we're going to be continuing our journey through the creature catalog, and we're going to take a look at the Hook Beast, which includes both the Hook Horror and the Hulker, as well as the Hypnosnake. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.